This is the Shit You Need to Know podcast. I'm your host, Martha Riley. I'm a TEDx speaker, cheese pizza lover, and master human connector. I help introverts, people with social anxiety, and awkward humans of the world find confidence, connection, and their cool factor. Because have you ever been to a party and someone asked you a question that you didn't know the answer to? Yeah, me too. It fucking sucks. But that's where I come in. I'm asking the questions so you'll have the answers. So sit back, relax, because there's shit we need to know. Hello and welcome to this episode of the Shit You Need to Know podcast. I'm having a good day. It's Sunday, the sun is shining, and life is good. I mean, talk to me in a couple hours when I actually need to go to get ready and like make a lunch for work. Talk to me tomorrow. We'll see. But another exciting thing that happened today is that the women's national team won the soccer championship. If you're a sports fan, yay! I'm not really a sports fan, but that is historical and very cool. And I've also decided to just call it soccer. And then there's just also men's soccer. So just remember that when you're referring to it. You know, it's soccer, then men's soccer, right? Because, yeah, that's it. That's the tweet. And now it's time for a little question. Last week, I didn't really like the question, and then I forgot to post it on Instagram because Instagram was down. So hopefully that doesn't happen this week. The question is, do you like scary movies? I do not. I am terrified. I also have a really big thing about like spoilers, like I need to know what happens because I don't like surprises. So the only way that I would ever go see a scary movie is if I knew what was happening minute by minute so I could sort of manage expectations, which is, I'm sure, not why most people go see scary movies. I actually had an ex-boyfriend that loved him so much. I wouldn't go with him. I would make him go alone because that's how much I hated them. I just couldn't do it. Forget about it. I'm like, ugh. There was a Blake Lively movie about a shark. I don't even know what it's called. And I was scared for that. So imagine anything more scarier and I'm out. I will post the poll on Instagram at RealMarthaRiley on Wednesday following the episode. I also have another cool announcement. I have a new website. You can find it at the same address, www.shityouneedtoknow.com, but it's a way better representation of my brand. It's super awesome. It's fun. We have pizza. It's great. I had such a fun time working with Emily, my website designer, and if you like what she does, I'm happy to pass along her contact information too. But on the website, you can also find all my information on the deep dish dating calls, my 10 conversations freebie. It's all there for you, and I can't wait to use this website to really serve you guys better. Because for me, there's a lot of credibility in a really nice website, and that's how I sort of make my decisions. Like, oh, is this person, like this coach or whatever, does she have a good website? Can I find out information about her? I make decisions based on that, and maybe you do too. So, check it out. It's super awesome, and I'd love to know what you think. On this week's episode, we have Melissa Hernandez Erickson, and she is a badass. She has two companies. She has a style consulting company as well as an event planning company. So this woman, you know, knows how to look good and she knows how to throw a party. Truly a deadly combination. She's great to talk to and I learned a lot, especially, you know, always put yourself on a pedestal. That's one thing we talked about because A, you deserve it. And B, if you don't put yourself on a pedestal, it may be hard for other people to do that too, right? Self-love comes from within. We also talk a lot about how clothing is an art, which is so true. I mean, today I'm wearing leggings and a Vampire Weekend t-shirt. Not super artful, but comfy. So maybe I'm not the best. Maybe I need to re-listen to this episode is what I'm saying, because there's a lot of great advice on how to dress for your body type, how to thrift, and how to really you know, appreciate yourself through your clothing. You don't have to have $1,000 to buy the latest designer jeans or anything like that. It's all about, you know, what works for you and your budget, as well as what do you already have? What do you already have that can make you look good, make you feel good? I mean, it's time to get rid of those jeans that don't fit. I'm looking at my closet right now. I've been holding on to a pair hoping they would fit again. They don't. I just need to get rid of them. This episode was a real treat for me to edit and listen back to, so I hope you like it just as much as I do. Melissa, take it away.
My name is Melissa Hernandez Erickson. I have been a wardrobe stylist and just been in the overall fashion industry for 16 years now, which seems crazy. But yeah, I started in retail, just as a regular sales associate, and when I was 16, and within a year I became a manager of a department and worked more on the merchandising side of things for a few years. And then I moved to a different store and went more into the personal styling side of things and became a brand ambassador for a high contemporary brand. And that's really where I got the practice of working one-on-one with a client, and still continued to work in the merchandising field. And then after that, I moved solely into merchandising, still with the same store. And I managed a $5 million floor, which I got to flip it within a week. And within 3 months, I raised the sales by 70%. So that was super awesome. But I just found the love of just styling people and making people feel good about themselves. I dabbled a little bit into fashion show production. So that's where my event planning experience comes into play. But I just continued to work in personal styling for several years moving on, and even went into the editorial side of things, where I was a photo shoot director for an e-commerce site, where I was styling and just directing the shots overall. But when I moved back up to Minneapolis in 2015, I decided to really focus on your average Jane rather than doing your editorial work and things like that. And I found it a lot more rewarding. So I just do personal styling and personal shopping now. So I work with mostly late 20s up to even your 80s, mostly women, but I also work with men. Anywhere from moms to grandmas to just empty nesters to people changing their career or people that are just looking for a new image overall. Just super rewarding. So I love changing lives every day.
I loved working my retail job. I worked at the Limited for a while before it closed, and it was probably my most fun job that I've ever had. I loved talking to people and like picking outfits out for them. I didn't like selling credit cards, but you got to do what you gotta do. I was okay at that, but it was not my favorite. I felt so bad. I was like, well, these people probably already have credit cards. And I was like, I think 21 at the time. So I was not, now I have tons of credit cards, but back then.
Did you ever fall in the trap of like getting a credit card yourself and you weren't educated enough about credit cards and you end up maxing it out and you're like, what is this, when you got your bill?
Oh,
and you're like,
100%.
Oh crap.
100%. That's that'll be a podcast topic coming up, because I'm especially
if you need a guest speaker, let me know.
Yes. Well, more importantly, it's like, how do you get out of that maxing out situation? That's what I'm trying to figure out. So,
right.
So this is kind of a broad question, and I know we talked about it a little bit before, but what does, you know, clothing mean to you? Because obviously you've been in this industry a very long time. You love what you do, I assume. And so how does like the clothing piece fit into it? Cause it's a very tangible thing. Most people like online industry stuff, they don't sell like tangible things. They'll sell like, oh, you know, higher motivation or like more Instagram followers. Those aren't really tangible. They're numbers. But I think this is like the truly like a thing you can buy, a thing you can feel. What does it mean to you?
Yeah, that it is a really big question. I have to say, it's just expression of yourself. I feel like nowadays, like just with the society, like we're always put on a pedestal and being looked at. And I feel like your clothing is your art. It is how you express yourself, and it's how it makes you feel overall. It's your confidence, like everything. I actually have experience with like art shows, and I've always been fascinated with like art and how just painters come up with these pieces of art and like how it makes them feel and how it makes other people feel. And I mean, God forbid, I am not a painter whatsoever. I've tried it. Not my jam. So turn to fashion. So I just feel like fashion's like your wearable art. It expresses yourself. You're kind of like a showpiece to everybody else. Kind of shows them your personality.
Have you ever really made a huge investment purchase, or like a really nice pair of heels or a Chanel bag or something? And how did that really make you feel, like knowing that you had worked for it? And like knowing that you're like this, you know, you have this elevated style just because of the price tag.
Yeah. So I would say back in the day, I mean, I was like a brand ambassador for a high contemporary brand. And so I felt like the urge that I had to like buy stuff. And of course they gave me like pieces to wear to represent. But when I bought that one piece, it was like a $200 sweater, which personally I think is insane, but I bought it and it made me feel good because it was such a structured piece. Now when I look back at it, I'm going to be completely honest with you. I'm like, why was that $200? Like, I don't understand. But you know what? It's the way you wear it and how it makes you feel. If you love those high price tagged items, rock it. Go for it. It's your jam. But when I wore it, I felt great because I was like, wow, I don't know what it is. It's like your self-confidence. Like you, when you have that high profile piece, it just makes you feel like you're high profile. It's almost like a mask, if that makes sense, for some people that don't normally wear that sort of thing. So I feel like it's like kind of like that costume piece. Like it's exciting to wear.
Totally. I feel like I'm looking around in my closet and I wouldn't say I have too many high profile pieces now, but when I was in high school, I would sort of treat myself to buying J. Crew and like some of their really fancy things. And I remember I'm like, yes, like I love this shirt. I love the way it looks. It's super pretty. But then like as I grew up, sadly, those fancy pieces fell by the wayside. So I'm like, okay, practical. I only wear flats. I never wear heels. Like I'm super
pretty. Isn't that funny when you're like younger? You want those name brands. Like me growing up, like I grew up in the 90s. So it's like I wanted Abercrombie and Fitch and Hollister and all of that. And now I look at it and I'm like, why? I just don't get it. But you know what? I think everybody goes through that phase. It's just weird how our society's like that. And it all starts with high school. Like everybody's just so judgmental and you have to have the it thing. But I'm totally all about self-confidence. Now I thrift. I'm a huge thrifter. And like I'll find nice designer stuff for like $4. And that's even more rewarding because I'm like, oh my God, I got a good deal. But would I be caught dead in a thrifted piece when I was in high school or just in my young 20s? No way.
Okay, so I love the thrifting idea. And I will go into that more in a second. But what's shocking to me is that Hollister and Abercrombie are still around. Like you go into the mall, I'm like, yep, okay, people still wear this. Like my cousins are just graduating high school this year. I'm like, you know, they probably bought that stuff too. I don't know, but I just think it's so funny because that was like the pinnacle of fashion back then.
Oh yeah. I mean, granted, I still love the smell of the Abercrombie cologne for men. Like it smells so good, but yeah, other than that, I don't know how they're still alive.
So let's go back to thrifting. I've been in a couple thrift stores and I don't know if I really have gotten the hang of it. So like, what are your maybe like top two or three tips for someone that's new to thrifting? Like what can we expect when we go into a thrift store?
Oh man, that's like a whole ball game. It's like a treasure hunt. It's great. I honestly, I look at every single piece I'm one of those abnormal people. Like, if you ever see me in a thrift store, or if you even see somebody in a thrift store and you see them going really quickly through the racks, that's definitely me. Come say hi. But I look at every single piece. I look for the basics that look like they're somewhat new. But then I also look for those statement pieces where I'm like, ooh, yeah, let's check this out. And then I look for holes. Like, if there's any holes or like any like loose threads, or like especially jeans, even, like, I definitely look in the crotch area, because I don't know why would you donate some jeans that are like, you know, falling apart in the crotch. But I look at that as well. And just the overall quality, long story short, I never look at the price tag, to be honest. I just grab it because I just figure it's going to be really cheap. So you might as well just get it. I also, those buckets, you know what I'm probably talking about, like the buckets that have like a bunch of crap in it, like a bunch of shoes or a bunch of bags. I will sit there and take every single piece out. Like, I will sit on the floor cross-legged and like pull out every single piece and inspect it. Especially purses, I'll open them up and see how clean they are inside. So basically, I'm just inspecting every single piece for the quality and cleanliness. It definitely takes some patience, though. I will tell you that.
I don't know. You might have to take me some time, because I don't know if I could do that.
I'm actually a personal shopper at Arcs Value Village. They offer a free personal shopping service.
That's pretty cool.
So we travel, there's four stores. There's one in Bloomington, St. Paul, Richfield, and New Hope. There's three of us stylists, and we all live on the West Burbs. So mostly we go to Richfield and New Hope. But sometimes we'll take some appointments in St. Paul when we're over in that area. And then I know the other stylists, sometimes they go to Bloomington once in a while. But mostly we're at Richfield and New Hope.
Yes, about the pricing, I would never buy things on sale. I don't know, I was a freak. I was like, well, if I'm not going to wear it while it's on sale, then I might as well just like buy it now. Like, that doesn't even make sense. Like, would you?
Yeah.
Whatever. That was a weird thing about me. But now I'm like, sale? All right. Like, buy one, get one? Yes.
Right? Well, now I look at it and I've thrifted so much that, like, if I see a pair of shoes over $15, I will not buy them. Like, absolutely not. Or if I see like a sweater that's like over $12.99, I won't buy it. It's just weird. Like, once you start thrifting, you don't go back. It's so weird.
I mean, yeah, that's super interesting. How did you sort of fall into this line of work? Because now you own your own company, and I know you have an event company as well. So what made you want to, you know, start being an entrepreneur?
Oh my gosh. I think it's like right when I came out of my mom's womb, I was like a born business owner. I mean, I've been an employee for like, you know, while I was in high school and, you know, early college, but I've always had an entrepreneur mindset. So whenever I was, an employee, I would always go above and beyond, because I just had that entrepreneur mindset. I wanted to do more and more things. I wanted to grow. So like, for example, when I was managing that $5 million floor, I was just a merchandising lead. And I made the executive decision, like, oh my God, this floor looks awful. I'm going to flip everything. I'm going to redo all the displays, literally everything. And with my motivation, I did it in 1 week. And it was a massive floor. I've just always had that motivation to go above and beyond, because I wanted to just grow within whatever job I was in. I finally made the executive decision to do my own thing when I was actually living in Miami, because I got involved with an arts organization based out of LA, and I managed those events in Miami and Orlando. And so I kind of had a free reign of doing my own events, but it was under this umbrella. So it was kind of like I own my own business, but I didn't at the same time. So I had that motivation. I grew it, and I had the biggest events in the country, actually, and won a ton of awards for them. So it was great practice for being a business owner, but I wasn't, you know, an actual business owner. But once I came up to Minneapolis and I became an employee again, because I managed two venues for about a year, And after that year, I was like, I can't do this. Like, my calling is to be an entrepreneur. Like, I loved it when I was in Miami. Like, I just need to do my own thing. So after a year of being an employee and managing two venues, which was an awesome learning experience, don't get me wrong, but yeah, I just had to do my own thing. I love to travel. My husband and I travel every 2 to 3 months. I like to do my own thing. So here I am, but I didn't know if I wanted to do wardrobe styling or if I wanted to do events. So I kind of just opened two businesses at the same time, which seems crazy, but I did, because I kind of brand them into one business overall sometimes, try to. And then sometimes they're kind of separate things. But yeah, here I am, just doing my own thing. I have a team of interns. I have a massive internship program. I mean, yeah, I've always wanted to be an entrepreneur. Probably like my first word. I came out of the womb.
So I am going to ask you three fun questions, and they're just going to be random and fun, and we're going to go with it. What is your favorite frozen pizza?
Oh, I love this question. So I just discovered, and people are probably going to be like, ew, that's so gross. What's that brand? Lots of Matza, I think that's what it is.
Yeah.
I think that's the brand. They have a mac and cheese pizza.
Oh.
And I just discovered it. Yeah. So you can't eat it by itself. We put Cholula on it, but granted, we like go to Sam's Club and get Cholula and we put it on everything because I'm half Puerto Rican. So like I have to have it. They like even have like a little baby one that goes in my purse. But like you got to put Cholula on it and it's the greatest. The lots of matzo mac and cheese pizza, hands down. There's also anything taco. Definitely. I'll just eat it. I don't even care the brand. Like, I'll eat it. I'm all about taco everything.
That's a fun answer because some people will be like, oh, cauliflower pizza. I'm like, no, that's not really pizza. But, okay.
You know, all the cauliflower, actually, it's funny you brought that up. My husband and I were going to eat cauliflower pizza last night. And I was like, well, I kind of want meat on it. He went outside and I was like, well, it's all veggie. And I was like, ew, that's just, no, I need meat. And then I thought about it and I was like, well, I guess they don't put meat on cauliflower pizza. It's supposed to be like healthier and it's supposed to be like no meat. But I mean, I want meat on it. I want pepperoni, but that's just me.
Right. Okay. And this next one is also a pretty vague one. But I think people have been answering this like very well. So I'm excited to hear what you have to say. But the question is, what does human connection mean to you?
Oh man. Human connection. I would just say communication. Like I really would. Nowadays, everybody's on their phone. I went to Italy and like they have lunch together over a bottle of wine for 2 to 3 hours and no one is on their phone. So I'd say hands down, it's all about communication. People need to communicate. We can't communicate just through your cellular devices.
I love that answer. Also, why don't I live in Italy where I can do that every day? That sounds amazing.
Yeah, and then you go take a nap, and then you go to dinner at like 8 o'clock.
Well, that's late for me, but I could make it work if I lived in Italy. I'm old. I'm like, 5 o'clock? Okay. right. So with communication, I guess, how can, you know, we really express ourselves through clothing? Because clothing is a form of communication, too. So say a lawyer and you're all buttoned up in like your black suit, how can you still shine through in that situation and maybe other situations as well?
So good example. Personally, I have like a boss lady type of style with a menswear flair, but you will always see me in bright colors. And the reason being is because one, I'm half Puerto Rican. So that's just like in my nature, but two, not saying I want to like stand out, but at the same time I do because that's like my power suit. I feel so much better when I'm in a bright color. So, I mean, when you look around nowadays, everybody's in neutrals, all of them. Not a lot of people wear a lot of color. And that's just like, even in Europe, they don't really wear a lot of color. But that's like my signature. So I feel like everybody, and I do get a lot of people that go from, you know, being in the working world to going to owning their own business, or they just need to brand themselves overall because they've been in business for a few years or whatever. I always ask them, what makes you happy? And some of them, they say, oh, I love the color purple. I feel awesome when I'm in the color purple. And I'm like, okay, try to do something, try to wear purple every single day, whether it's in like your bracelet, or maybe you get a fun pair of shoes, or maybe it's your earrings or something like that, just to express yourself. Or sometimes people feel awesome in just like a good pair of shoes, like a good statement shoe. So like if they're really into like Oxfords or loafers or like a good patterned heel, I always say just not buy as many as you can, but always incorporate that into your outfit. Always have that signature look.
I love that. I think that's so fun. My signature look. Well, what's your signature look? You tell me first, because I think mine's boring.
My signature look, I have that boss lady look with a menswear flare. So you'll find me in like a good pair of strong loafers or an Oxford, but I'm always wearing like a blazer or a good power suit type of jacket and like a big statement necklace. That's type of my look. But overall, like I'm always wearing some type of color, like bright orange or like a bright red. I mean, I have this awesome like yellow blazer, so I feel like Dick Tracy in it. It's super awesome. So I'm just always in some type of color.
How are these ugly ass Birkenstock clogs? I guess that's my signature look. Comfort footwear.
Love it.
I have like bad plantar fasciitis, so I would try to wear cute shoes and then I would be like limping by the end of the day. So I went to the doctor. Oh yeah, you need arch support. I was like, well, okay. This is what it's come to. So, okay, I guess I know how to put shoes on at least, but how do you find the best way to dress for your body type? Because I'm like a, you know, weirdly, probably not weirdly shaped. I'm very like normally shaped, like size 10 to 12, like 32 double D's on the chest. And like, how do I make that work? What are some good tips if I'm like trying to hide certain parts of myself or flatter certain parts of myself? How do you know what to dress? How do you know how to dress for yourself?
Yeah. So honestly, it's all about trial and error. I actually have clients that reach out to me and like, we'll do a workshop session like in a store. So yes, I offer like closet analysis where I go into your closet and I tell you what to keep, what to get rid of, how to pair things up and what to focus on moving forward. But a lot of people just want to be educated because sometimes they just want to have a new view with actual like, you know, new clothes. So I'll do a workshop with them in a store and it's all about trial and error, but it essentially comes down to the fabric and balancing it. So like if you're bigger chested, you'll want to make sure that you don't, you know, have a flowy top that, you know, sits on top of your boobs and then all of a sudden you look like you're pregnant. You know what I mean? Like you have to find the right fabric that forms it, like forms your chest, but then also lays just right around your tummy area. But you don't want it too tight because then all you're going to see is when I like greet you, I'm just going to look at your boobs. You know what I mean? So like, it's honestly all about like the fabric and it's trial and error. Typically, if I'm working with like a new person and you know, it's like a personal shopping appointment or, you know, it is one of those workshops I do in a store, I can look at their body shape and kind of already know like what type of fabrics and fits are going to look good on them as well as colors. But I like to at least get 3 to 4 outfits on them to make sure I'm like, you know, right. But usually I can tell after like 3 or 4 outfits, and which is okay. Like trial and error is completely okay. Like I'm sure everybody's picked up that top and they try it on. They think it's super awesome on the hanger and they put it on. They're like, oh my God. Or maybe they thought like, oh God, this shirt's like really ugly. And their friend's like, you should really try it on. They try it on. They look awesome. Same type of concept.
Got it. I think, yeah, that's really interesting. What about colors? Like, do you have any color advice? Like, which colors look better on some people, or is that trial and error too?
No, that's definitely trial and error. If I worked with somebody before, and if they're listening to this, they probably will laugh. Everybody has a borderline color where, like, obviously when I'm walking down the street, I look at what people are wearing. I just do. It's what I do. But a borderline color is like, I'll look at it and I'm like, oh yeah, that looks all right on her. The one thing about a borderline color is if you don't know personally, and I'm not there to tell you, try putting a darker color over it. So let's say like a tan tank top, right? Like, not everybody looks good in tan, but if you put like a navy jacket over it or even a black and it looks all right and it looks better, then you're good to go. That's your borderline color. You just have to pair it with a darker color or like a darker jewel tone. I will say on a side note, everybody looks good in jewel tones. Reds and yellows and corals are very hard. I feel like everybody could wear a red, but there's so many different shades of red. So for red, I highly suggest going to like a Home Depot or a Lowe's or something and getting those, you know, those little paint swatches. Stand in front of the mirror with really good lighting and hold up different shades of red up to your face to see which color red works for you. Because sometimes people, you know, look good in like red. Some people look better in maroon. Some people look better in burgundy. Some people look better in like a berry with the, you know, that has like a shade of purple in it. So you just have to find the right color when it comes to red. Mustard yellow or like any type of yellows, that's a yay or a nay. For sure. And coral, that is a yay or a nay. Those are usually the difficult colors. Coral, I don't even know why that was a color of the year. I'm sorry. If you live in the South and you're tan, cool, that works for you. But like Midwest people, like most everybody's like Scandinavian. So it's like coral doesn't look good.
It doesn't work up here.
No, it doesn't. But yeah, those are some like tips and tricks.
If we want more of you, where can we find you?
Yeah, you can find me on Instagram at MH_style_consulting. You can also find me on Facebook at MH Style Consulting. And you can also find me on Twitter at MH Style Consult. And my website is MHStyleConsultants.com. So when it comes to fashion, for example, a lot of people ask me, are flares in or are wide legs in? I mean, now you'll see them out and about. But a lot of people asked me a few months ago because I actually have always worn flares. Like, I rock them. I love them. I'm like an inner like flower child sometimes. But if you like something, just rock it. Because it's a proven fact. Like, if you ever look at somebody that wears like a weird style, and you look at them and you're like, oh my God, they look so cute. I wish I could wear that. It's the same type of thing. So if you wear something that you really like and you feel confident, you're going to carry it with confidence and people are going to compliment you and it's only going to make you feel even better. So like, for example, when people asked me about like the wide legs or flared question a couple months ago, when you didn't see them out there, I said, the only reason why you don't think they're in fashion is because out in society, you're seeing skinny jeans everywhere. Like, that's what you see, or like ankle fit jeans. You see that, but so you feel like they're not in fashion. But if you rock them, like rock those wide legs and flares, you will feel better about it because you love them and people give you compliment and you'll carry it even more and you'll make it a fashion trend. So rock whatever you love.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Shit You Need to Know podcast. As a reminder, please check out my website at www.shityouneedtoknow.com. And if you want to get in touch with Melissa, all of her information will be in the show notes. See you this Friday for another edition of 15 Minute Fridays. Thanks for listening to the Shit You Need to Know podcast. I've set up a phone number in case you have a question you need answering or just want to talk. Feel free to give me a ring at 301-941-7448. That's 301-941-SHIT. Also, don't give me a ring. No one does that. You can text the number too. I don't know why I said ring. If you enjoyed this episode of the Shit You Need to Know podcast, feel free to subscribe on iTunes and rate it 5 stars.